AI Insights with Greg Pruitt, a five-step blueprint for success.
Hi, everybody. My name is John Kuntz, and welcome to this special edition of the Cloud Collective podcast. In today's episode, I am excited to welcome back Kyndryl Vice President, Distinguished Engineer, multiple patent holder, and infrastructure cloud architect, Greg Pruitt, as he shares his valuable advice on how to get started with artificial intelligence. If you are looking for help to frame your thinking around AI and your AI projects, then you have come to the right place. I want to welcome back Greg Pruitt.
Hi, John. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Hey, it's great to see you again. For those that weren't around or would like a refresh, why don't you share a little bit about your background with our listeners, and just feel free to start anywhere you want.
Thanks, John. I appreciate it. My background is actually primarily in system design. I spent many years designing systems for IBM and Lenovo. So I have a deep engineering background as well as a software engineering background. More recently, I've been part of Kyndryl, working on services and helping our customers to adopt new technology. So I'm part of the CTO office here in Kyndryl and recently doing some very exciting work with artificial intelligence.
That's spectacular. I'll tell you what, every time I get to talk to any of our distinguished engineers, it's always a fascinating topic and always learn a lot. You can't go anywhere today without having something in the news about artificial intelligence or AI. There's a ton of hype around it, particularly around Gen AI or generative AI or ChatGPT, but AI has been around a pretty long time. And before this hype around generative AI came along, there was predictive AI, and which is sometimes referred to as traditional AI. I wonder if you could just spend a moment, Greg, explaining the differences and maybe give some examples of each.
That's a great point, John. Artificial intelligence is around in a lot of different forms. And generative AI is just one field of artificial intelligence. But there are numerous other places where artificial intelligence has made an impact on our lives. You think about natural language processing. Think about your home devices, your Google, your Alexa, your Siri. Those are devices that can understand speech and respond to speech requests, typically using something like a recurrent neural network, an RNN. Also, tremendous advances in the area of computer vision over the years, typically convolutional neural networks, CNNs, that are very good at recognizing objects or being able to recognize objects in video, used in transportation for self-driving vehicles, used in retail for self-checkout or loss prevention. A lot of these, what you call more traditional AI technologies are also maturing and becoming much more widely used in production environments. So it's not just about looking at generative AI. We're helping our clients with all types of AI. Now, generative AI, like you were saying, is quite different. While it's based on pre-trained data, generative AI actually has this unique ability to generate or create new content. So it provides some, I'll say, randomization to the pre-trained data and allows it to create, you know, summaries of documents, write Q&As based on a large volume of data, actually create blogs, or even presentations. And now we're seeing some exciting new areas of generative AI creating pictures and even generating videos.
Greg, many companies are reading about AI, especially large enterprises. They're trying to figure out how to leverage some of these technologies to innovate, to improve productivity, to help their decision-making, gain competitive advantage, reduce time to market, stuff like that. So, but I think a lot of new technologies, people struggle on how do you get started?
With AI, I think there's multiple steps to it. And maybe I can organize that answer into a few steps. First, like you were saying, there are lots of ways that you could apply AI. But we really encourage our customers to do a very structured assessment so that they can look at different business needs, different desired outcomes, and go through and score what kind of return on investment they could get out of these different scenarios. So I really think it starts with business needs and how you can achieve business differentiation. Then I would say probably the second most important thing is thinking about your data and your data strategy. AI can do amazing things in terms of consolidating data or producing insights out of data or making predictions from data. But the whole system is only as good as the data. So most of us need to spend, you know, considerable time thinking about data science and thinking about what kind of, you know, data quality, data cleanup, data reliability needs to be implemented. Because the data sources are certainly very important. And along with that, and last time, of course, John, we talked about sovereign cloud. Another very important thing that we're seeing more and more in the news these days is, you know, making sure you deal with anonymizing data, keeping data private, and ensuring fairness and avoiding bias and all of those things. So there's a lot of aspects to your data strategy in terms of making sure it's a good data set, it's an inclusive data set, it's a representative data set. And so that's another very important aspect of, I would say, preparing.
And it's probably a key step, right? If you think about it, if you think about these large language models, and you don't want to train them on somebody else's data, and you certainly don't want to expose your data to somebody outside of your organization, particularly if you're trying to build a competitive advantage or do something innovative. It's the garbage in, garbage out. You have to shore up your data, your strategy, where it is, who has access to it, who doesn't have access to it, before you can actually, I think, really do something unique within your organization, particularly a large enterprise. Does that make sense?
And John, I joke with people sometimes that the biggest winners in AI may actually be the lawyers. We're starting to see more and more public lawsuits against AI companies, either for training data that may have included trademark material or due to bias and fairness or openness. We're seeing various types of lawsuits now. And so that data strategy is really key. What are your data sources? What are your privacy controls? What are your responsibility controls?
Cool. So number three.
In the first two, you notice I didn't really mention any AI terms like creating models or any of that. I was just talking about basics, business needs, return on investment, and data sources and privacy. I would say after that, you do want to think about what type of AI, like you're asking, is generative AI correct, or are there other AI technologies that can help solve that problem? And one thing I normally recommend is to think carefully about adopting what I call an AI software platform. There's a lot of very good AI platforms emerging. Of course, there's the Google Vertex platform, the NVIDIA AI Enterprise platform. There's Red Hat OpenShift AI platform. There's a number of very good software platforms that are emerging that can really help you adopt AI more quickly in terms of using it, not inventing it. So these AI platforms can help you by providing you pre-trained models. So maybe you don't even need to go through the training step, or maybe you do, but maybe you can start with a pre-trained model that's pretty good and then do some customizing or tuning on that model with your own specific data. And then after that, after you understand and pick an AI software platform, then's when I would start thinking about infrastructure. Where do you want to run this? Where do you want to run this in terms of a production environment? Do you want to run it in public cloud? Do you have data sovereignty requirements that make you want to run it in private cloud? All of those are possible. And choosing a software platform and choosing a private or public infrastructure for hosting your production AI, I think are steps 3 and 4.
Got it. Makes sense. You're like she's describing. Your first two steps are basically, I would call basic business strategy, blocking and tackling. All right, now you're ready. You're putting the foundation. Now you're ready to build the walls, right? So you've got to pick your platform and then figure out where you want to store your data and run the software, right? So now we've got the first four down. I believe there's one more step that you recommend.
So for the fifth step, I think you really have to think about the operational model, the process for running a production AI environment. And maybe this isn't as intuitive. Like any other software application, you will need to think about the life cycle of that application. How do you update the content in the model? Maybe if you have a generative AI model that's trained on all the user manuals for automobiles, what if a new generation of automobile comes out, new model years? You need to be able to update the model and add more data. Whenever you update a model, though, there's a number of things that should be done. We talked about with the data strategy, making sure that your data is clean and accurate and representative, but also your model. Your model needs to be tested to see if there's bias, to see if it produces bad results. And so you want to, anytime you retrain, you want to retest and look at those responsible AI processes to ensure that what you're putting out is of high quality.
Makes sense. If you look at some of the generative AI companies like OpenAI or Claude from Anthropic, if you just pick on OpenAI, GPT-4, it was around for almost 6 or 8 months before they let it loose into the world. I believe from what I've read, they spent a lot of time on security, on accuracy, on privacy and bias and all those things you just talked about. It hit the market like with a bang, I think you're right. The operational processes are going to be your guardrails. How's it used? What we learned, if anything, is you can't just take everything right out the gate as gospel truth, right? At least from my experience with generative AI, it's another smart person in the room.
So I normally look forward to that fifth step as is model ops or machine learning ops.
Model ops.
So basically the five steps, and by the way, this is based on your blog post that you wrote, and we'll obviously include the link in the show notes to it. So the summary, it's you analyze your business needs, your desired outcomes, the requirements, you define your data strategy, pick a AI software platform, and then you select how you're going to run the infrastructure, public cloud versus private cloud, and then you establish your model ops processes. That is, I think, excellent and very valuable information. So any concluding thoughts or parting words of wisdom on this topic?
I guess I'll say two things. One, I hope I didn't make it sound too daunting. I think there's a fairly simple formula, and we have a process that we're doing with our clients that's repeatable and ensuring successful AI projects. The second thing, though, I'll say is that there's some studies out there that say that a large percentage of AI projects right now are failing. A lot of them get to a successful proof of concept, but they fail to actually make it into production or to produce the results that are requiring. And the two areas that we see where companies are struggling, one is data quality. And we harped on that earlier in the discussion. Right. The data is key. And it doesn't matter how good your model is if your data is poor. AI can't make up poor quality data. So that data strategy and data quality is an important part of the process. And that's why whenever we talk to our clients about AI, we're also talking to them about the fundamentals of data science. The other aspect is just the operational nature. And again, you may not initially think about that when you're thinking about AI technology, but really designing an operational model for how to get to production and how to ensure a responsible AI system.
Excellent. When I read your article, and there are so many other topics and things we just don't have time to cover today, and which I certainly would love to talk about, I think other people would want to hear about as well. So I would actually love to have you come back on the show and talk more about those at some point in time, if you're open to it. But in wrapping it up, again, I want to thank you, Greg, for a great interview. One more question, and that's, how can people learn more about what we're talking about today, and how might they get started in developing their AI strategy?
You gave a plug already for my blog on LinkedIn. I'd love to see feedback from folks on LinkedIn on that. And Kendrell's published a lot of other blogs and very useful information to folks to help learn about this and learn how we can help.
Excellent. So we'll definitely include the link to your blog post on LinkedIn in the show notes. Of course, I recommend people connect directly with you as well. That way they can also check out your article, Five Steps to Getting Started with AI. So wrap this up. Greg, thanks for joining us. It's been a great discussion and super exciting topic. And I just want to thank you for joining us on this edition of the Cloud Collective podcast. Have a great day, everybody.
Thanks, John. Thanks, everyone.